She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Our show today is made possible due to the generous support of the Fairfax Companies, true leaders in the business of sustainability. And as always, we thank them for their support and for everything they do to make a difference for our community and for the planet. They are great supporters of Mrs. Green's World mission and vision. Thank you, Fairfax Companies. The name of our show today is The Produce Mom, and the name of our guest is indeed The Produce Mom. Her name is Lori Taylor. Launched in 2012 in January, The Produce Mom is the official blog and consumer brand of the Indianapolis Fruit Company, and the blog is authored by what I call super mom and marketing manager for that company. Lori has also created the social service program, Find Your Favorite, which inspires children to eat more fruits and vegetables. And I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, Lori, so I can tell our listeners about some of the numerous awards you've received. And I think it really matters that people that are doing the work that you do get recognition. So you are a Walt Disney's Kids Concern. You've been recognized by them. Indiana Female Focus. Women of Influence by the National Center of Excellence in Women's Health and a community partner for the Indianapolis Public Schools Food Service Division. Lori was also named one of the top 25 leaders in the produce industry by the Packer in 2013 and voted as Indiana's most influential dame. I loved that. In social media. And did I say any of those wrong? Is it the Packer Foundation or the Packer?
The Packer is one of the leading news journals for the fresh produce industry. And the Packer 25 is one of their annual distinctions for, you know, different influential leaders that are both within and even individuals that do not work directly in the supply chain of fresh fruits and vegetables but have made a huge impact on our ability to, you know, sell more, deliver more, and do more for our consumers.
And it, to me, I really like to bring up what kudos people have gotten, because I think it's important when you're doing the work that you're doing, you're not doing it for recognition. Excuse me. I got all choked up.
you're absolutely right, though. I mean, you certainly do not... I don't think anyone stays in the food industry for recognition. I mean, or really any job. I just don't. It certainly does not motivate me. What motivates me to, author the blog and do, serve as a spokesperson for many different brands, for an industry, for Indianapolis Fruit Company. Sacrifice some of my personal identity, which I know you can relate to. You know, I have this alias, and you don't do that because you do not do that for merits and whatnot. You do it because you really care about the topic and you're passionate about the content and the mission of your efforts. So that's why I really enjoy, serving as the spokesperson and manager and being such an influential part of the Produce Mom.
And I think if you're passionate about things, which you obviously are, and I am, when we get a recognition, what I always do the spin is, I'm so happy because then more people will know about the mission and the vision. It's not about the award.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure
Yeah, it's really cool. I absolutely know what you mean. I mean, I was actually, this year I was recognized as a 40 Under 40 recipient by Vance Agribusiness, and that was a really humbling moment for me because, agriculture is a lot more than just fresh produce. So to be recognized, by the entire broad,
right,
agribusiness,
right,
that was That was wonderful, and it was super exciting for our company because one of my colleagues at Indianapolis Fruit Company, our assistant director of procurement, he was also recognized. So, you know, we've been in business since the mid 1940s. Indianapolis Fruit Company has, and you know, to have two employees that are recognized by Vance Agribusiness as being the top 40 under 40 contributors in all of agriculture, that's pretty exciting for all of us.
It's really big. I mean, it really is. Yeah. 40 under 40 here is very active and in many places around the country. So that's a huge honor. Well, let's
Thank
before
you.
Sometimes because I have read so much and done so much research, I skip over the big picture. So let's give us an overview of the mission and vision of the Produce Mom and how did it all come about?
Sure. It's really simple. I mean, the mission is let's get people to eat more fruits and vegetables. And
right.
The way we do that is by educating consumers of all ages how to select, store, and serve fresh produce items. And, you know, we believe that there is a produce mom in all of us. And by that, you know, there is in each and every person that I encounter, I can identify spirits within these individuals where I'm like, you know what, that's the produce mom in you. Whether it's I want to waste less food in my home,
right,
or I want my children to eat more fruits and vegetables, or I want to get away from buying the same five items, you know, in the produce department week after week. I want to explore more, know more. I want to know where my food is coming from. I mean, there's so many different topics that we talk about at the Produce Mom. And, you know, we truly do have something for everyone. And the essence of this brand is something that I believe it's relatable to everyone. You know, you don't have to be a mom to visit our website and really get it and love it. And nor do you have to be a vegetarian or or someone who only eats locally grown produce. Or I mean, no. Like I always say it. Anytime I'm on the morning show or anytime I have the opportunity to address a group of people, I always emphasize the fact that if you are eating fruits and vegetables of any kind, in any form, you are making a great decision for yourself
and
for your family.
Road. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
so
go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So we deliver things in a factual and positive manner. You know, it's not, we're not using the Produce Mom to criticize, you know,
yeah, there's no
other,
shame, blame, or guilt on the website. I mean, we'll say it quite a bit throughout the show, but it's theproducemom.com. And since mostly people listen to us through podcasts, they can be listening to your show and be on the website. It's delightful. It's inviting. It's interactive. And that's not the same about every website. I don't say that to every guest. It's easy to find information and to go in there and find what you want. So I guess one of my questions is the first step in making this successful, which it is engaging people. How do you actually go about engaging people, and once they're there, keeping them engaged?
That's a really good question, and something that, you know, anyone who's aspiring to connect or share their missions and passions online, there's like 80 billion websites or something like that right now.
I think the last
statistic I heard was like 70 new domains are added to the internet every 60 seconds. That is, that's just a ton of noise on the internet. So what I challenge when I'm talking to people in the trade or, you know, students that are thinking about studying marketing, I always challenge people and say, what are you doing to be heard? You could have the best platform and mission in the world, but how are you going to get it out there?
Right.
There's, you know, you're competing against a lot.
It's a big ocean of ideas.
It's infinite and it's growing so rapidly. And I'll tell you what the Produce Mom is just, it's an example of a concept that started with very humble beginnings. And it was just a proposal that I made. I had 6 years at Indianapolis Fruit Company in sales, and I wanted to advance in my career, and there was an opening within our company for marketing manager, and I I didn't study marketing. I never really did traditional marketing as a sales representative. But if you're a good sales rep, you are marketing, you know, so they kind of go hand in hand. And I applied to be the marketing manager at Indie Fruit, and the thing that I brought to the table as the marketing manager was, hey, I want to bring about this idea and this opportunity to communicate directly to consumers, because Indianapolis Fruit Company sits at the middle of the supply chain. We are a distributor of fresh produce in 16 states. So we're buying from the farms, growers, shippers, and we're selling to retailers. For a distributor to have a marketing department, even, I think, right, is kind of rare, you know. And
exactly.
And so I knew that I was tasked right away. I was tasked with, how do I certainly was excited about the opportunity to advance to management level within the company, but I immediately was like, man, I have to make sure that I'm contributing something that is solidifying the relationships with our vendor community, and also serving our retailers, you know, creating assets that they can use at store level. And so the whole thought of the Produce Mom was just a result of me as a consumer, because at the time I was 30 years old with a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I myself, even as a produce industry insider, I was wanting more information about fruits and vegetables, because I was now a mom of young children that were, you know, starting to eat more fruits and vegetables, and I wanted more tips on how to select, store, and serve them. I felt like everything in our industry, there's a ton of great information out there about fruits and vegetables, but it's all very segmented, you know, and I just didn't have the time to subscribe to, you know, this website's newsletter that was all about citrus, and then the right, next website's newsletter that was all about, you know, lettuce items. I mean, it was just very segmented, and I felt that as a consumer, our industry was really lacking that one single destination that I could go to and interact with on the channels where I was getting all of my information. You know, I was not subscribing to newspapers or journals or anything like that, but I was subscribing to blogs. I was following my favorite, and I still do this today, I follow my favorite brands on Twitter or Facebook, and like, you know, I shop at Kroger, and I know what's on sale at Kroger because of their online digital ad, not because I'm reading the ad that is printed and put in my newspaper, in my mailbox,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I just thought, man, we need something that's highly accessible, that, you know, I still am today as a 34-year-old, the target consumer for any marketing effort, you know, and so I just kept thinking, well, would I like this?
I am the mom. How would I feel about this?
I'm the person that we're basically all trying to sell the product to, and, you know, I've got a limited budget, so essentially, each and every time that I grocery shop and I choose to put an item into my cart, I mean, that's a victory for that brand. That's a victory for that commodity, because my budget is very limited. You know, I've got two young kids I'm raising, and, you know.
and there's busy,
yeah,
mom.
Life is expensive. Yes,
right.
Yes.
Busy and mom goes hand in hand.
Yeah, and so so that's really the foundation of everything. And I do tell everyone, you know, if you wouldn't subscribe to it, you know, then don't put it out there. Like, if you're not going to, that's not something you would interact with on social media or care about. And I do, even today, when we're composing things or when I'm getting ready to post something on Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest, I always will say to myself, do I care about this? And then I think about someone in my life that is, you know, that is very different from me, you know, has a different perspective. And I think, would she care about this? And then I think about someone like my mom, who's a little bit older, and I think, would she care about this? And if I can say yes, 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 then I know it's good content.
Right, it's in.
And, yeah, it's that evergreen quality content that is meaningful to me. It's meaningful to people that aren't like me. It's meaningful to people that are older than me. And meaningful content always has a place on, you know, on the internet, and it's an opportunity to really be noticed amidst all of that traffic, like we were just talking about, you know? So,
people are looking for good content. I mean, they are. They're really looking for good content. There's, like you said, there's 70 new ones every 60 seconds. Well, that's what goes out there, and you have to see it. And I want to talk about, like, in your blog, I wanted to ask you a question. One of the things that caught my attention is it's so easy. It says, begin here. So, of course, I went and looked at what that was. And the first question is, do you buy the same five fruits and veggies week after week in the produce department? Is that what your research found, is that most people just go and they're creatures of habits and they buy the same things over and over?
Yeah, you know, it's not really necessarily, I don't know if I'd call it research or not. It's mostly just, you know, conversation and personal experience is where that perspective is coming from. I mean, I've got lots of friends and, you know, my other parental peers that I'm around all the time because of my children. And when people find out that I work in the fresh produce industry, they're immediately asking me questions like, oh, well, you know, so how do you prepare an artichoke? You know, stuff like that. It's like, and then they'll say, I've never bought a fresh one. I only buy canned ones because I don't know what to do with them. And then I look back on even my life. I mean, I'm very confident and competent when I walk into that produce department. I have never felt overwhelmed in a produce department or a farmer's market or anything like that. I can pretty much identify any fresh produce commodity, but I too prepare the same meals for my family week after week. You know, it's just that we're all creatures of habit. Even myself, I'm guilty of it myself, and it really is a shame because, you know, there's so many delicious options out there, and we might classify our children as, you know, stubborn produce eaters, like, oh, I can't get them to eat veggies. Well, how many have you really tried?
Try.
You know?
Right, and there might be ones they love. I know more kids that love Brussels sprouts in this day and age than in my entire childhood growing up. I mean, my grandchildren, my children, my mother fed us Brussels sprouts. I am not a particularly Brussels sprout lover, but I think it's wonderful that it's on so many more menus and that it's become kind of a popular food item.
Right. So, well, and you nailed it right there. I mean, the food trends always start with the chefs. They are such, anyone in culinary arts, chefs, bloggers, even food photographers, I mean, these are people that are truly, you know, they're pioneers for the food industry. And it's amazing how much consumer consumption echoes what happens in restaurants.
Yeah, they're major influencers. I mean, they really are. Even when you see labeling, I've been noticing how they describe things. They'll say organic or have a seafood watch symbol if it's fish. I mean, there's a lot more leadership out there in terms of eating healthy food and from sustainable sources. It makes me really excited. So I think I told you the time is going to fly. We have, I think, one more question before we go to our first break, and we can continue after it. But I think another kudo that I would sincerely give to you is you have to figure out ways to engage people. They don't just want to read a website. Give me something to do. Give me a call to action. So you have the produce challenge, and I'd love you to tell us a little bit about how it works and what's the challenge.
Cool. Yeah, the Produce Challenge is absolutely one of my favorite things that we do. It's a monthly challenge calendar. I use my industry knowledge. I mean, I personally I work with the growers and shippers that I'm in partnership with at the Produce Mom, and they help me understand the seasonality of the products and what's going to be readily available, what, you know, might be more affordable this coming month than what it typically is. And I utilize that insider industry knowledge to put together the Produce Mom's Monthly Challenge calendar. So, A, it's a great way for consumers to understand seasonality. I mean, people are always asking me,
when should I be eating
what's
what?
What's in season? When should I be eating this? And we do, as the produce industry, we shop the world. And due to the advancements in transportation and logistics, there really is no such thing as like, oh, this is out of season. You know, I mean, strawberries are always available, okay? They're always in season somewhere.
Right.
But there are growing regions that, in my opinion, I think that they offer premier flavor. So, or if it's grown domestically, it's going to be, you know, less expensive than if it's grown in South America. And so that's...
So hold that thought.
We'll come back to that
because there's really a lot of exciting more things to share about that piece.
Thank
Everybody,
you.
Stay here with us. Lori Taylor, the Produce Mom.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the Igloo radio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmer Glass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
University of Arizona professor John Pollard asked the students in the Posada San Pedro Hall to consider bringing solar energy to the dorm. Just 3 years later, the Solar Cats, a group of students who took up the cause, have installed 44 solar panels on the dorm, saving 20,000 kilowatt hours of energy and reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 14 metric tons every year. Talk about students with a sunny future. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Everybody, you're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And we're actually being fed, no pun intended, such great ideas from Lori Taylor. The name of the show is The Produce Mom, and we have The Produce Mom as our guest. And I have no idea what's going on with my throat, but let's just walk right past that because we want to get back to... It's like, what?
Yeah, well, we were talking about the
produce challenge.
Yeah, and so, like I said before the break, it's a great way for consumers to quickly identify, hey, this is in season and it's going to be available this month in the produce department. I should look for it, okay? It's a good time to buy it. Two, it's... You know, depending on the month, it's up to 31 different unique produce department items. I mean, there aren't very many consumers that are buying 31 unique items in the month of May or whenever. You know, so that's another thing. It kind of gives you a guide or a map, like, hey, let's get out there and try some new things this month. And three, the reason I love it so much is we are really, we're enhancing it every month. If you visit theproducemom.com, it's right there on the homepage always. You will see the monthly interactive challenge calendar, and we have click-throughs, so little tips on how to select, store, and serve. Or if you want to learn more about how it is grown, you can click on the tractor icon, and it'll take you right back to a blog post or another website that will show you how this product is grown. And, you know, it serves as our organizational tool for what we put out in social media. You know that on any given day, chances are we're going to be sharing a recipe or a how-to tip that is centric around the challenge calendar pick of the day.
And it's what to me is so exciting is that I think the biggest question in every family, so we don't have kids at home anymore, and sometimes it's 5 o'clock and we look at each other and say, what do we want to eat? And I was talking to a girlfriend the night before last, and she said it's her least favorite question because we've cooked so many meals, come up with so many ideas. But I looked at a lot of your calendars and what it spurs, what it inspires people to do, let's say you put pine nuts on for a certain day. That, to me, would lead me to say, what could we make that's really good with pine nuts? And then look for a recipe because I don't have to think about it. It's a great idea. Right. Oh, I wouldn't think of making something with pine nuts. And it leads to that kind of making it easy for me, the consumer, or the mom that just got home from work, or the dad who's a single parent. It's like, okay, let's have avocado. We can make salsa for dinner with corn chips, and that's healthy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's, you know what, it is important to emphasize the fact that dollar for dollar, if you're spending money in the grocery store, there is no better place to spend it than in the produce department. You are getting the most nutrient-dense foods. Like I said, you're always making a good choice when you're putting produce department items in your basket. And the challenge calendar is just one additional tool that we are using in our network of retailers. There's some retailers that actually they love this piece so much they print it and have it on display in their produce department.
And people can put it on their refrigerator. So if there's meal prep sharing, okay, here's Tuesday, you're in charge.
It's really accessible on your phone as well, or your tablet. You don't even have to print it if you don't want. You can always find it.
We
pin it to the top of our Facebook page, so you can always, quickly connect with us on Facebook and see what the pick of the day is. We make it really easy for people to engage and follow the challenge, and it's growing. And it's a tool, too, that I've realized there's a lot of other organizations that are starting to share our monthly challenge calendar. We have, this month we had some different local wellness campaigns from all over the nation, share our challenge calendar when we published it. We had some daycares and it's really, when I see that happen, I think, man, all this hard work is really worth it. It really makes me feel good.
It's having an impact.
This tool started, we've been doing the challenge calendar now for over a year. It's certainly evolved. I mean, you can go back and look in our archives and see how we're constantly trying to improve. You have to. And one of the things that you'll see, though, is just the new interactive links on the challenge calendar make it so much fun. And you can go back. The calendar from last year is still very much relevant to, the seasonality, more than likely, that we're experiencing this year. So there's always there's the opportunity to plan in advance. I have had students that in the local community I work with, the family and consumer science students.
Right.
I'm in a formal partnership with the State Department of Education, and I do a lot with family and consumer science students and educators. And the challenge calendar tool has been very successful in their coursework. They have to plan menus, for instance. And I had a few students that told me, I had to plan a 4-week menu and I didn't really know what to plan, but I looked at your challenge calendar and tried to use the items that were on that.
And my homework was done.
Really important.
But you put things in there like how many carbohydrates, what value it is for vitamins and minerals and fiber and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's really that whole concept of, I'm a really busy person, I want to get all my information in one place. I don't want to have to switch over to a new website. So it's to me, the soup to nuts, full service salon for what you're going to do and why it's going to work. What about I love the Produce Mom picks, and that is really delicious recipes posted. How do you come up with that? Is that your pick of what you do?
Well,
or do people submit
it? I work with, my colleagues at Indianapolis Fruit Company to decide what's a really good thing that we could showcase right now, something that we are confident in. Like I said, I certainly don't want to encourage my readers, hey, make sure you get out there. And I mean, because this happened, this happens sometimes in the winter, with the vegetable items, there can be freezes and stuff at night.
Right.
And so I certainly wouldn't want to say, like, in February, hey, get out there. Spinach is the produce mom pick of the week, and then spinach can't be found anywhere because of a freeze. So I really pay attention to the industry trends, the commodity availability, the market pricing. That's another thing. I mean, like I said, I always try to make sure that everything is very budget-focused. But I do believe, I firmly 100% believe, fresh produce is very affordable. It really frustrates me when I hear people tell me, I can't eat fruits and vegetables because it's so expensive. So one thing that I do when I'm talking to students or mothers, sometimes I will take visual examples of items, like a 3-pound bag of apples, and then I'll bring in the equivalent, you know, from like aisle 10 in the grocery store. And it's like, you know, for the same cost as a pack of Pop-Tarts, you can have 3 pounds of apples. What's the better breakfast for your child? And you know, this 3-pound bag of apples will likely last you much longer. You know, you'll get more, there's more servings and there's more nutrition, and
it's more filling. I mean, there's all kinds of benefits.
There's so many things.
So many upsides.
It's naturally hydrating. There's a lot of benefits to eating fresh produce. But yeah, that's another thing I really try to help consumers understand is, I will be the first to say, you know what? Strawberries, they're not always affordable. Like, when they're $5 a package, I myself look them over and find a different fruit to serve to my family. But, you know, when they're $2 a package and it's, you know, and the 1 pound can provide my whole family with a really delicious side dish that we like, you know, I mean, yes, I spend the money on it.
And
I feel
really
good about it.
And you can always tell. I mean, that's a good guideline for what is in season. And here, of course, it's avocados. And if they're a dollar a piece, you're like, okay. And sometimes they're six for a dollar because there's, you know, an overabundance of them. And that's when we eat a lot of different kinds of things with avocado in them. So it's a great idea. And I couldn't agree with you more. I just have to comment on that. And I address it a lot when I do shows about food, that fresh produce is very affordable. It's not only healthier for you, it's affordable, helping with your health care, you know, having healthy kids. And if you, one of the things we noticed when we started morphing into less meat and more fruits and vegetables, our grocery bill went down because meat is really expensive. Yeah. And I'm not saying, you know, don't buy less meat, but for those of us that do, it really, you can buy a lot of spinach and kale for the cost of a couple of pounds of beef.
And yeah, and I mean, and my children would like have my head if I replaced their hamburger with kale, but you know,
I would have your head too.
But I,
that's just wrong.
I will say, you know what I will say? I 100% agree with you, and let's take it even a step further. If we would all just commit to buying what we need and eating what we buy, we would realize that we're not, you don't spend that much money on food. I mean, in the United States, we are very, very fortunate to have the food costs, the affordable food costs that we have. The reason so many of us feel like fresh produce is expensive is because most American households throw away like 40% of what they buy.
Yes. And
it it spoils in the refrigerator at home. Yes. And fresh produce, it is, you know, it's the mantra that we live by at the distribution chain. You know, we buy huge truckloads of produce and we've got to sell it quickly because if we don't sell it, we smell it. I mean, it does spoil. It's going to spoil. It's fresh produce. And
that sounds like a hashtag to me. Hashtag sell it or smell it.
It's that's right.
Really
yes.
Idea.
there are people in my office with that saying, like, literally posted on their cubicle wall.
Give a really good, there's another section I want to point out on your website, how to select store and serve ideas and why these tips are so important for people who want to eat fresh.
Well, it's not important, it's essential.
Essential.
That makes us, how to select store and serve fresh produce allows us to be sustainable consumers. You know, that is, sustainability is a big deal right now, and it should be. I love that there's more consumer awareness of how are our farms being sustainable. Well, what I challenge my reader is, how is your home kitchen sustainable?
Right, that's where it starts. Yep.
And yes, and our farmers are doing a great job. If they weren't, you know what, we wouldn't have third and fourth generation farms all over the United States. They're doing a great job with working with the land and being sustainable. But the home kitchen, there's a lot of improvement opportunities. You know, There's like I said, let's waste less at home. Let's repurpose leftovers into new dishes. Let's make sure that, you know, when I buy a produce item, I know how to prepare it so that I'm not wasting such a large amount of it. Or, it happens to all of us. You know, you buy much more than you need, and then it spoils. So how to select, store, and serve, just start at the first one, select. there's nothing more frustrating than going into the produce department and being very excited about buying an item, and then you bring it home and say it's a melon or or a head of lettuce, and you slice it open and it's just not good quality. You know, I mean, that happens. These are not manufactured goods. They're items that are grown and sometimes items they don't sell as quickly as they should at retail. And so that you buy items that are slightly distressed. So you bring something home and it's not perfect. So how to select at the grocery store is very important for consumers. Another thing I really focus on with our consumer following is letting them know, like, on the same, you know, the other end of that is, it doesn't have to be picture perfect. You know, like, you can work with strawberries that have, you know, a few bruises on them, or an apple that has a little tiny poke in it where the stem of another apple, you know, punctured it. That's still very edible, nutritious.
Or it's not the perfect shape. I mean, it's really sad when you find out how much food never even gets to the fresh fruit and produce sections because they were the wrong size. I mean, that's really sad. But just to go a little bit into, you can tell that I'm very impressed about the website. But an example, so how to select asparagus. It's hysterical. It's like you want to read it. You say, pick firm, straight, and smooth asparagus. Find stalks that have a bright green color. Fresh asparagus should lack a smelly odor. Do not buy it if it smells. Well, who's not going to love watching, reading that and saying, okay, I'm going to go in to my store and I am going to smell the asparagus, which I totally agree with you. And you say choose stalks in uniform thickness. It doesn't change the quality, just beneficial when cooking. So that's an energy saving tip even. So, right. And how to store them. I learned in this walk as Mrs. Green, all vegetables and fruits are not created the same for the same kind of storage. You don't just put them all in the vegetable bin and expect some of them not to rot. So it's very thorough. And then you, of course, tell them how to serve. I mean, it's important how to serve.
It is. Like, here's a recipe idea or, and also, like, asparagus is a really good example. It's, I just did some videos and we talked about asparagus in one of the videos. And I said, hey, add asparagus to your next, relish tray or vegetable platter. It's delicious raw. And a lot of people, just little tips like that set off the light bulb with some consumers. I mean, there are people who have never had raw asparagus. And, so we really pride ourselves with that on the Produce Month, helping people understand, like, hey, you're never doing the wrong thing when you're shopping in our department and trying to eat more fruits and vegetables.
And shopping on the outside of the grocery store, the outside aisles. Let me ask you this, and I never really want to put anybody on the spot. Do you weigh in at all on if it's important to eat some fruits and vegetables organic or not, or do you just encourage the overall concept of fresh?
There's a lot of messaging out there, okay?
Right.
And I get that question all the time, so I'm glad you asked it. There's a lot of messaging out there, and most of it is very rooted in passion as opposed to fact, okay? And at the Produce Mom, we're honest, we're factual, and we are never going to criticize, we're upbeat and positive. That
totally
is the spirit of this brand. So
I can attest to that.
So the way I answer this question is, all produce is good for you. Absolutely, bottom line, period. There's no need to argue that statement. There's no doctor out there, there's no scientific evidence out there that suggests that we should be eating less of this or avoiding that or eating more of this one. The only thing out there is we should be eating more of all of it, right?
Right.
I mean, everyone agrees on that. And but I do. I absolutely 100% support, agree with, and applaud the fresh produce industry for making sure that consumers always have a choice. I love that when I walk into a grocery store, a farmer's market, a roadside fruit stand, I love that I can purchase product that is grown conventionally, organically, locally, and it's all, it's all fresh, it's all affordable. I think it's wonderful that we have such a such a vast amount.
Like a robust offering in the United
absolutely.
States. We are so
yes.
blessed. And
yes,
a lot of people don't have a clue that we've got
no,
a lot
they,
of
they
choices.
Don't. And it's really important that our farmers continue to develop all of those different sectors of farming. It's really important because they're servicing different households. I mean, there's different households and there's different families that need, you know, that organic produce. And there's another household could be right next door that really just needs that conventional produce.
Right.
And
hold that thought.
Yeah.
When we come back, more from Lori Taylor about Find Your Favorite Food campaign.
Thank you.
And more about the website. Lots more to share. Everybody stay here with us.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
At the University of Arizona, we're putting solar know-how to work. And it's not just our researchers. Our students are on the job as well. Our student solar racing team, using recycled solar cells from NASA, designed and built a car from scratch that gets the equivalent of over 3,000 miles per gallon. Talk about students who will go far. Really, really far. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for joining us at Mrs. Green's World, where we don't tell you what to do. I cannot believe this is happening to me. It's so annoying. Thank you for joining me today. And joining me today and sharing with us is Lori Taylor, who is the produce mom. She's an author, honestly a super mom, I'm sure of that, marketing manager for the Indianapolis Fruit Company, and creator of the school service program Find Your Favorite, which inspires children to eat more fruits and vegetables. So you talk about an evolution. It started out with a seed of an idea, and look where you have taken it. So tell us about that campaign.
You.
I mean, it's really not just impressive, it's so important for the health of our country and our planet.
Oh, it is. Yeah, thank you. I just love Find Your Favorite. I absolutely, nothing brightens my day like being able to work on building the Find Your Favorite campaign. It is something I am, to say I'm passionate about it is an understatement. Okay, it is like if I had to name my baby.
This
from
is
the
your
business
baby.
World, that's my business baby right there is Find Your Favorite. And I do believe, you know, I'm passionate about it because I have seen how it lights up the eyes of the children who have the opportunity to experience it. I have seen how very famous individuals who are asked day in and day out to endorse or lend their celebrity or, you know, their heroic role within the community to a campaign or endorse a specific product. I have seen how those people come to Find Your Favorite with just a genuine passion, like how I have, you know. And so just to explain what that program is and how it started quickly, the Find Your Favorite campaign was something that I conceptualized with my team at Indie Fruit, and I thought, you know, we need something. We're doing all this great marketing, you know, by educating adults on how to select store and serve their fruits and vegetables. But really, if we're going to change, if we are going to be a catalyst for change, we have to capture the children. We have to help children understand that fruits and vegetables are cool. It's a great choice. We should be eating them at school, not just putting them on our lunch plate and throwing them away. And so that's how this program started. I thought, you know, I have, like I said earlier in the show, I've got two young children. My boys are 5 and 7 years old right now. And I'll tell you what, if a woman in a red apron came to their school and talked to them about eating more fruits and vegetables, I think it would just come in one ear and out the other. Okay, goodbye. Like, they would not
yawn,
tell me about
next.
It. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. And but if they had someone like, you know, my oldest son has been interested in being a firefighter. So say they have a firefighter come in and talk to them about his favorite fruit or vegetable, or like my youngest son is such a fan of sports, but even more so mascots. So if he has, if the local sports team mascot comes in and does a, you know, a little theatrical production, or even if they simply watch a video on the YouTube channel that has the mascot, you know, being whimsical and even though they can't talk, but communicating about fresh, eating fresh produce, that's the kind of stuff that my children remember. That's the kind of stuff that they come home and tell me about when I ask them, how was your day at school, you know?
Yes, and they're not just hearing it from mom and dad, which at certain ages can be, like, boring. They don't want to hear it. And this way it makes it exciting. And it's about having great role models. It's a great way to change it up.
Thank you. And I'll tell you, I, you know, I'm 34 years old. So when I was a young, when I was a student in the elementary school age, I was marketed to. And the big campaign that was marketed to me was seatbelts, the importance of getting your parents to buckle up. And that when you would get in the car, you must buckle up. And I'll tell you what, that changed America. Because you're hard-pressed now to find someone in my age group or even, like, my parents' age group that doesn't buckle up. Because as a child, I was telling my parents, hey, buckle up, Mom and Dad, you know, because in school the previous day I had watched the Crash Test Dummies video and had a representative from Ford come in and talk to me, you know, about the importance of wearing your seatbelt.
That's a great analogy. I mean, and it changed the country forever.
It changed society.
It really
changed lifestyle.
It really did.
And I believe, I know it's not easy. I know that, and I know that if you're taking the position of fact and positivity versus fear-mongering, it's even going to be probably harder. And you know what? I am passionate about separating negativity from fresh produce. There's nothing negative about it, so keeping it all very positive. And I'm passionate about making sure that we connect with children and help children understand, you don't like something, that's okay, but don't stop. Try them all. Find your favorite. Because there is a favorite. There is a favorite fruit or vegetable for each and every person. I don't care what age you are, you have a favorite fruit and vegetable. And
I'm still trying to expand my repertoire. I'm one of the pickiest eaters in the world. My kids, my family, my friends, anybody who knows me is Mrs. Green. Say, well, if they only knew, and I say, well, they do, because I talk about it on the radio. I'm a work in progress, so it's an experience for me. A couple of other things that I want to make sure that we get in on the show is you have a Trending Now, which I love, Trending Now on the Produce Mom section, one of which is fruits and veggies for dogs, and I wanted to bring that up. So that's so many people care about their dogs, and that's trending. So you've hit a chord there with people that are owning dogs. I said, this is delightful. Lots of people care about what's safe and what's dangerous for dogs.
Right. And I mean, and I'm not a, you know, I've never studied animal, you know, I'm not a veterinarian, worked, you know, so we certainly don't want to make health claims, but I get a lot of inquiries like, hey, can I give my dog this or that? And I personally, I mean, if people who have been engaged with the Produce Mom for a long time, or if you simply are a new visitor and you start exploring our recipe archives, you will see that I have recipes on there like carrot dog treats. I mean, I am a huge dog lover, and I've got an entire board on my Pinterest page. It's titled For the Love of Dogs. I mean, my dogs are a big part of our life, and there are some items that, you know, it is known that these are safe to eat, but more importantly, there are some items where you are not supposed to feed them to dogs. You know, I mean, you hear about chocolate. You know, that was always the thing that I knew my dogs didn't, you know, let's not make sure they don't get their hands on the dark chocolate. But I didn't really realize that that onions are one of those foods that you really should make sure your dogs don't eat, you know.
Because it can actually be really harmful.
Yeah. So I really just, I didn't know that. And, you know, we do make sure that we cite our sources so that people always have the opportunity. Like, if we're making claims like this, that's a pretty bold claim. Like, hey, you're not supposed to eat onions if you're a dog. You know, don't feed your dogs grapes or peaches, other stone fruit items like peaches and plums. it's important that they know this is more than just an opinionated woman with a blog. That there has been research. There has been research behind it, and so we do always cite our sources on any sort of blog post where firm claims like that are made. We provide our readers with the link back to the scientific website.
Yes,
or and things, study right. that proves it. Yeah,
things that shocked me. For example, for our listeners, the phrase "Can dogs eat apples?" is searched over 700 times every day on Google. So obviously, yeah. as you say, it's a subject that matters, that needs to be addressed. So I found that whole way, and again, the way that you provide the message is an informative, fun, engaging way, not preachy. There's not should, don't, whatever. It's these are things that are really good and healthy ideas for you and your pets. And then another thing we have to talk about, which I hope we have lots of moms that listen, and the power of the mom and the mommy blogger. They are the ones that are doing the buying and the food preparation, by and large, let's be honest. I cracked up at your holiday trays. Talk about where I went with that is, now I have grandchildren, but when we had children at home, this is a fun way to get them involved. You know, Lori Davis, who produced Fed Up, and you know, she's a big foodie, she says, get kids involved in the food process. Well, there's a lot of kids that would want to help you make Tommy the Train tray out of food, fruits,
right,
and vegetables
right.
at any
the
age.
Spider-Man tray.
My 27-year-old would like doing that.
You know what? That is such a good point. I've often asked, like, okay, you know, by different people in the industry, okay, these trays are really cute, but do they mean anything to people beyond the preschool household?
Oh, you know? Yes, and, they do. Here's Mrs. Green weighing in.
Yeah, that's right. And I did a cooking demonstration at one of the Kroger stores in Bloomington, Indiana, which is a college town. That's where Indiana University is. And I'll tell you, I demonstrated how to make a Elmo fruit tray, and I had some recipe cards there on how to do it. I had more college students come up and get the recipe cards for the Elmo fruit tray. I ran out in 45 minutes.
Because I believe it.
I had so many college students that were like, oh my gosh, I'm making this for my party this weekend. And it was just so unsuspecting. I was not anticipating that type of a response to an Elmo fruit tray from, you know, 20-somethings.
But there you got it. And now here's me, 64 years old, saying the easy Halloween veggie tray is adorable, and kids like carrots. Almost every kid likes carrots. So it just, I mean, it's just a fun idea that can get people excited and get them engaged. Okay.
That's one of my favorite things to make.
Did you ever eat
I
have to ask you this too. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's question. Did you ever eat the kale and sausage pie? It makes me want to even think about trying kale.
The hand pies?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, they're delicious. That's a recipe from Josie's Organics. I don't know if you're familiar with that brand. It's one of the newer brands to the produce industry.
Right.
It's a new organics brand. Their recipes are unbelievable. josiesorganics.com/recipes, and it's just a whole category. We have a lot of them on our website because we do a lot with Josie's Organics at the Produce Mom, but that kale and sausage ham pies, do I like them? I love them. I serve them at Christmas. We host my husband's family for Christmas, and that was one of the appetizers I made. They're easy to make. They're delicious, and yes, you know, people eat them, and they don't realize that, oh my gosh, this is such a superfood in here. You know, it's a great recipe to introduce kale to someone who has always rejected it.
Which would be me. We put it in our smoothies for a while, but even in smoothies, it's like, oh my God, it's such a heavy-duty flavor to me.
There's a bitter flavor in
there
it. And, you know, one thing that I do recommend to people if they're not loving the flavor of kale, I love it. I mean, I eat raw kale salads all the time.
So do my kids.
Yeah. One thing I will recommend is, have you tried just doing the leaf only and not eating the stem?
No.
The stem is where
the stem is
much more robust and bitter, but the leaf, and then I also recommend try the lacinato, which is that flat leaf kale, because if you're rejecting it due to the texture, that lacinato kale has a much in my opinion, much more pleasing texture than the curly kale. But I like it all. So
I had to ask. I really did. You can tell I really spent a lot of time on the website.
Because yeah, I really appreciate that.
Because it was fun. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I have to read about this. Oh, my gosh, I have to read about this.
Thank you.
I still have another half a page of questions, which we won't get to. But I wanted to ask you kind of on the macro level, since you've been doing this so long, how do you see things trending? We have big challenges as a country in terms of our children's health and diabetes and, you know, ADD and autism. I read all mm-hmm. those statistics too. We have a lot mm-hmm. of unhealthy eaters. From where you sit, do things seem to be trending in a healthier, more exciting direction?
I mean, yes, I think so. Look at what we've done with the Produce Mom. We put a blog and a social media network out there that was all about fruits and veggies, and we've engaged quite a bit of people.
Thousands
and our numbers
and thousands.
Are growing.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and so I think the answer to that is a very confident yes. People want to eat healthier. And one thing I do say is, you know, the generation of today's target consumer for marketing campaigns, people my age, we're the first generation, in my opinion. I mean, I think we're the first generation that's known nothing other than this obese society. I mean, a lot of us grew up.
Absolutely right. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's even if I take it back to my parents, I mean, they didn't really know an obese America, but me, that's all I know. You know, the obese, a lot of us had obese parents. You know, we're wanting to reverse that trend in our own homes. You know, we grew up with not having our, you know, the society didn't have the wealth of knowledge that it has today because of the advancements in technology, and social media is huge. I mean, it's, you know, people are sharing stories and experiences and passions and tips, and it's changed the way that consumers can get information about different industries and brands and commodities. So I think that there's never been a more exciting time to be a professional in the food industry. You know, I mean, at the same time, I'll say I don't think there's ever been a harder time. I mean, we're all working harder than we ever have because of all of that communication that's out there.
And
I mean, there's a lot of false information out there. There's a lot of information, like I said, that's just opinion-based or passion-based. And I'm all about people being passionate and opinionated. I'm passionate and opinionated.
It's
but
like, why
I have,
show up
you know,
if you're not, right? I am
yes,
too.
Yes, but, you know, we have made the commitment that the Produce Mom will be a destination to get the facts, you know, and we do. And we have that frequently asked questions page where we're starting to really, you know, just real quickly answer some of the top questions that we get at the Produce Mom. And those are all, unless it specifically says something that is very subjective, like what my preference is, you know, it's all fact-based. It's not subjective
right.
answers
and
or opinionated answers.
You really level the playing field to me in terms of access to information by partnering with a huge public school system. So you make things available to kids in school where everybody's getting the same information. It's delightful because that helps start different kinds of chains of change.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really excited. Now, we have less than a minute left, and I want to tell... I know
it's it did
like,
go fast. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
I told you. I'm so glad that you did, and you can tell that I did. And I have to figure out what this throat thing is. But I want to tell everybody, please, please go visit theproducemom.com. All of
the
social media buttons are there. I follow Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. There's YouTube videos, Google+, Instagram. They've got it all covered. So whatever your social media format is, the one that you engage with the most, there's a solution for you. Everybody, I just want to say for Lori, the call to action, get engaged. Do something after you hear this show about healthy eating. And if you go to the Produce Mom, you will be given a menu of choices, no pun intended.
You will. You absolutely will.
Yes, to get excited about healthy foods, to know what some different recipes are. And everybody, next week, Tuesday night, our Down to Earth with Mrs. Green show is Kimber Lanning from the Bali Conference, which is a really big, huge conference about buying locally and supporting local economies. I'm very excited we're doing that show. And then on Saturday, Diana Cohn, CEO and co-founder of the Plastic Pollution Coalition. Everybody, make it a great green week. Lori, thank you. And visit theproducemom.com, everybody.
Thank you.